All right. This is Josh Hankin of SandbagFitnessSystems.com and Amir Hankin FitnessSystems.com. And I invited two very special guests today, sort of my secret weapon, Sandbag program, Tracy and Nathan. You know, I'm going to say that you guys are sort of like my witness protection agency. I can't say too much about you guys because we've been through a lot, just knowing how a lot of people are going after, you know, our cool ultimate sandbag designs and so forth. But I did want to give a chance to have you guys or educate people and sort of give you guys some credit to the role that you guys have played in the development of our product. So thank you guys for spending a couple minutes with us.
Not a problem.
Oh, Josh, thank you
for having
us. Absolutely.
Yeah, I would love to say the company and everything like that, and hopefully one day we can and give you guys the appropriate credit. But trying to keep on the down low right now, and you know, hopefully when that patent goes through, we'll be able to give you guys the credit you deserve. So, you know, well, I want to take a minute to sort of talk to ask you guys. You know, you guys have actually worked with Sandbag for quite a while before we ever got together, correct?
Yes, we have. We provide a lot of sandbags for the entertainment industry.
And you guys, you know, one of the things that was most attractive when I started working with you guys was just the fact that you sort of understood that, you know, the durability component and things like that. What goes into your mindset when a company asks you to make something, you know, that they say it can't break or needs to be durable? What type of things do you need to consider?
Oh, that commercial for Samsonite in the late 1970s with the gorilla inside the cage with the bag, that's what we consider. We want to make it so that it will last absolutely as long as possible in the most extreme conditions, which means that in normal usage, according to its care and use, it's going to provide a very durable product to an end user for a good deal of time.
And something that you guys have really opened my eyes to is just the, you know, I came into this on the fitness side, not really the manufacturing side. So, you know, when we first launched this years ago, you know, I sort of as stuff I would like, but you guys have really helped educate me upon what's also appropriate. And some of that has to do with, you know, the loads of the sandbags. Can you just talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys sort of helped determine the correct loading for, say, our filler bags and so forth?
You know, without getting too deep into it, because there's a lot, honestly, there's a lot of physics in play with sand being a fluid as it functions. We have found that, you know, we do things such as shock tests to see basically drop tests. We take all of our material and we, you know, we get it spec'd out, but we also do some testing here up to including dropping it from 30 and 40 foot heights. With the basic understanding that sand is actually always in motion, that really is what we keep in consideration when we are manufacturing a product that's going to be using sand. What we've seen with a lot of competitors in our original home industry, and we're definitely seeing with some of these guys trying to knock you off, Josh, is that they don't understand that it is a fluid. And you will find something that to the eye of myself or Tracy or our craftspeople, an obvious flaw that's just taking its time to, you know, all of a sudden show itself, things like that, we're able to head off at the pass because we have seen our original product used in extreme conditions up to and including underwater uses. So with that in mind, we were able to bring all of that forward to your product.
And that's really been a huge help. But, you know, I think a lot of people still, you know, because I can relate because of how I started in this project, that, you know, they consider sand, you know, although you say, you know, you mentioned fluid, to be, you know, almost impossible to break versus, let's say, a piece of iron, whether it be a plate, a dumbbell, or a barbell. But while sand is impossible to break, sandbags aren't, right?
Well, what do you want? What do you want to break? Do you want the piece of iron or your foot when you drop it?
Right.
You know, sand is, in that sense, it's almost a safety item in comparison to the old way of doing things.
Yeah. You know, how many accidents have we seen in gyms where, you know, people drop the, you know, an iron weight onto them or a body part and, you know, end up severely injured, where that's really not the case with the sand because obviously it is fluid and conforms to any kind of shape it would, you know, fall upon. But that being said, you know, there are some limitations when you're dealing with enclosing that, you know, obviously you know, through the years, we've been able to identify and work around to make it, you know, the bags as good as they can be for that environment.
Yeah, and that's, the sort of the biggest trick, because I think people get so excited about using them and they think only about the sand that's in the interior of the bags. You know, can you guys talk about a little bit, just sort of overview of the, like, compressive forces or the amount of force that a bag goes through, especially because Tracy's seen me in person, and when these bags are dropped or you know, God forbid, they're slammed, what type of things happen to the materials?
Well, you know, we use a material, am I allowed to say it, Josh?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. No. Well, what we use in the filler bags is referred to as a 600 denier. And what we have found in our original industry is that strikes a very good balance of durability and cost. But what we've seen with a lot of the people trying to knock you off is they're using what they call quote unquote ballistic nylon. Anybody that's been in this industry, the one that we are, where we are, you know, cutting and sewing for you, can put their hands on it and realize that, you know, it's ballistic in quotations only. It supposedly has more durability, but you know, we don't see that, and part of the reason we don't see that in the designs that are trying to knock you off is that they're not taking care. You know, they may be using what they call a better material, but then they'll really go cheap, not only with the thread, but they'll do things, you know, like we were talking about, the little hidden flaws, where to whomever is making it, wherever in the world they're making it, they know that if they set up their sewing machines to do, let's say we do 10 stitches per inch, they know that if they do it at 7 stitches per inch, it's going to leave that factory, get on a boat somewhere, and get over here, and it's going to look fine, but literally they're 30% less durable just in the stitching alone.
And yeah, that's pretty amazing.
You know what? Before I got into this industry, I couldn't have told you the difference, but now, I mean, literally just feeling it, and, you know, I know a great deal about this, but I'll tell you, the people that we have here are not employees. They're skilled craftspeople, and they won't allow anything out the door if it's going to not meet their standards. So Tracy and I have been very blessed in that sense.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that would surprise some people, because I think they, I'm sure some people are like, well, you know, I use one of your sandbags, and, you know, we had a filler bag break or something like that. When that occurs, I mean, you sort of hit on it earlier, Nathan, that, you know, there's a balance. You know, we can make this indestructible, but of course, the price would be astronomical. And I think a lot of people forget that there's a balance between what's affordable and what we can actually do, and to strike that balance so people can actually afford the product. We try to use the best, materials. So, you know, could you talk about the care that sometimes people have to take when they're using such a product?
Well, tell you what,
hello, Josh?
Those are secret spies.
Someone's trying to get in on the conversation. Yeah, we use 42 stitches per inch. Try and do that. I think that's a two-part question, because I think Tracy would be better suited to speak about, you know, the general perception of it. I work with the production quality. A couple of things come to mind. In our base industry, and what we have brought that skill set and those years of experience together with your concept, and I'll say that plural because you have several different things running, what we know to be true is if it is a 35-pound filler, you can put 35 pounds of sand in it. It's almost like the oxygen masks that are supposed to come down when the aircraft loses pressure. Even though the bag is not full, you're still getting oxygen. And what we found is that with any of the bags that have, you know, suffered some sort of failure, greater or lesser failure, it's because mainly, you know, 35 pounds is in there, but a lot of people want to fill it up all the way. And that puts it past 35 pounds. The nice part about your product is that Well, if you want to jump up to 45 pounds, you can do that. Or if you want to add a 15-pounder, you can do that. There's a perception that if the bag is not completely just bursting at the seams, and I use that word, those words right. for a reason, yeah. then they're not getting the maximum effect out of it. fact of the matter is, they are, even when it's not bursting at the seams, because they're setting it up to burst at the seams. You know, we have discussed, Josh, as you know, we've discussed filling them and sealing them here and sending them out from here. But it, with shipping and with the cost that that would be, you know, your customer wouldn't see any benefit, I don't believe, to that. But care and usage is key here. We make bags in our industry standard up to 35 pounds, and we do custom work up to 100, 200 pounds. But if you look at it, it looks like it's not completely filled, and there's a reason why. Those dynamic forces, when you are using the bag, dropping it, shifting from side to side. I mean, I've seen your workouts. I mean, those grains of sand grains of sand do not like you at the end of the day, Josh. But they need room to move around, because if they don't, even with the stitching we do, they're going to find a weakness and exploit it. It is exactly like, to put it on a macro scale, you know, you see erosion in the levees in New Orleans. It will find a weakness and exploit it.
Right. Now, I think that's a key point. We've gotten pictures from, you know, customers, and, you know, when you said bursting the seams, you know, we just know, you know, you Tracy and I all know what a filler bag is when it's filled properly. And to sort of key in, you know, the people listening, you should not see the seams being pressed out, right? I mean, that's a key no-no.
Oh, that is absolutely correct. And, you know, I don't know if you have it on your website, but what we can do, and we're getting some feedback here again. I don't know if that's you or me. But, you know, what we can do is, you know, let's fill some of them up to their appropriate weights, and, you know, we'll take some pictures and show that it does have some floppiness. That, you know, it does a couple of things, which I don't think people realize. Obviously, you do, because we've spoken about this before, but not being completely filled allows it to move around a little. But there's an added bonus to the workout in the sense that, you know, you start working out some of the smaller control muscles when you have a little bit of movement.
Right.
You know, a lot of movement, no, definitely not good. But that little bit of movement is what means that product is going to be durable, and it's going to give them good value over its lifetime. And you know, we build a tremendous amount of sandbags. We know a little bit about what we're talking about here.
Yeah, you guys have done a great job for us. And then also, you know, maybe we could just talk a minute about that, the backpack you guys made, our sand pack, and what you went into that, because that's more than just a backpack that you just made. I know you spent a lot of time sort of designing and go over the biomechanics. Can you sort of just tell our listeners, you know, what was involved in making sure that the backpack, or as we refer to the sand pack, was a correct design?
Okay, well, without giving away too much, because we are at our secret location,
the Batcave.
Yes, well, there might be a trademark involved there. Let's be careful. But
where's coming out of?
Yeah, well, you know, thankfully you can edit this too. but we have done a lot of work for other industries, some of which include some military uses, and you know what. One of the bags that we have done, which we were able to, as it was our design, we were able to fold into your design to make a completely new and obviously, you know, patentable, we believe, product, is you look at these guys that are special operations that have to walk around with literally more than their body weight on them all day. And based on that, and some of the people that we have here that are either in the special operations community or former members, spanning from the Korean War forward, you know, we can put something on somebody's back who has, years of hard experience, they know what it's like to have that much weight on them, and they know what it's like to have to run with it when they're getting shot at. So that being said, we designed an interface with the user that takes into consideration those ergonomics and the weight requirements and the workouts that you had, you know, designed to go with that workout backpack. And we pulled in from our other designs things that would make that, you know, better and easier. And, you know, overall, just being able to take from many different arenas and then use that experience in your, you know, with regards to yours, I think we've come up with something that, you know, you can do almost anything with this on you. And, you know, are you going to feel the weight? Yes. Are you going to feel the strain based on it not conforming to your body? No, not at all.
And that's the key. I mean, I get a little apprehensive because I think some people thought we had sort of smacked a backpack together and just said, okay, we're going to start selling this. And I know, you know, conceptually, I had the idea of what I want to do with it, and you guys made it happen. And you guys made it happen in a way that was going to be comfortable for the user. And that's why, you know, I think the big difference is that this is something that sort of conforms to your body, where a backpack just sort of can flop around and bounce around. This seems to be a lot more along the line of a weight vest, which is what we were aiming for, right?
Absolutely. It was kind of, you know, it was kind of a natural transition for us, Josh, in the fact that, you know, our other backpack designs were meant to carry, you know, heavy loads for long periods of time. So when you came to us with this design, it was really, you know, just kind of a natural synergy to, you know, transpose the two to come up with what you needed. And you know, that's, you know, given our production staff and their skills, made that relatively, you know, easy and quick for us.
And you guys hit on some key points I just want to bring up. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but, you know, the whole idea of military grade, that the whole military grade gets thrown around quite a bit. People, what that actually means?
Well, there's a difference between military grade and mil spec, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think military grade is an oxymoron. I think that's, you know, people kind of fudging the truth, if you will. You know, there are, you know, specific mil specs on the materials that must be used, and Nathan can expound upon that because, you know, he's sourcing that. But I think military grade is kind of, you know, fudging the issue, if you will.
Josh, from my background in legal, there is a term called puffery. And basically it has no factual basis whatsoever, but, you know, it's like a car salesman. This is the best car in the market. Well, is it something that's actually quantifiable? Well, you know, it may have power windows and door locks and all that, but is it truly the best car in the market? There's you know, it's truly something that's being thrown out there to get people's attention and make them want to buy. We know what we produce for, you know, under license for you. We know that you will only accept the best to put out on the market because you're putting your name on it. When someone says military grade, I tend to want, okay, well, for someone like me who is in production, I want to see the mil STD, the mil standard that it's being built under. I want to know the contract and specifications from the military that say we need X, Y, and Z. For what you make, there is no such thing. That being said, what I think they're trying to say, and they're just falling on their face here, is that they're using military-grade materials in order to make this. Now, one of the major requirements, funny enough, of military-grade and mil-spec and mil-standard for stuff in the United States is, guess what? It's made in the United States.
Right.
So that way, we know, because it's made in the U.S., that they're not putting 7 stitches per inch. They're putting 10 stitches per inch. They know that there is someone that backs it because on the military level, if something fails out there, it's one of our, you know, men or women that's going to suffer because of it. And, you know, that's why I find it funny that some of the people that are knocking off your stuff are saying that, because I'm pretty sure that not a whole lot of it is U.S. based, just based on what I feel, what I literally tactile and what I see.
Absolutely.
And you know, I mean, even down to the quality and the thickness of the thread, which there are mil specs for that as well. I'll tell you what, just the thread alone on your products, we're kicking the tar out of them.
I think that's something that people appreciate, because I know I did, you know, when I first started this, was, you know, everything from the type of thread to the type of stitch that's involved. And I know you guys have, you know, recently you've added some additional components that we won't release our master secrets to yet, but, you know, it makes the product a lot more durable. And I think what you guys hit on a couple points. One is about materials. You know, they may appear stronger, but recently, you know, you may want a material that is not necessarily so strong because it can give a little bit, right? So there's a balance between strength and movement.
Well, the give is exactly what makes it a durable product. If you do not have flex, you have fracture, and that's truly it. Even with things such as fabric, because sand, as we're talking about, it will find a weak point. And if you do not have any flex in the fabric, well, it's going to go find flex in that sewn seam, and it's going to penetrate. It is truly just a matter of time.
Or, you know, everything has a, you know, tensile strength. And at some point, you know, if you don't make it correctly, you don't use it correctly, you will hit that you know, critical fail area of the tensile strength, which we have seen in the past with inferior materials, that sort of thing. So, you know, that's one of the considerations that you have to, you know, take into account.
And that's really helpful, guys, because I think you guys hit a lot of important components of the bag. The fact that, you know, every little bit makes a big difference. I always try to tell people that, you know, if we don't take everything into consideration, there's a wrong stitch, or if there's not the right thread used, you know, it can cause failure in our product versus another product that maybe just has a rough handle.
You know, and it is kind of interesting because I think it really does come down to perception, because, you know, when people think about a sandbag per se, they think, oh, come on, it holds sand. How,
right.
You know, how difficult can it be, or, you know, how much do you have to do to make it hold sand? Well, as Nathan touched on earlier, with sand being fluid, and, you know, the physics that are involved with it, especially in a workout situation, well, you know, there are a lot of things that you have to take into account if you want that product to continue to work and to perform the, you know, the service that you're employing it in. And most people don't take that into account until they actually come in, they see one of our demonstrations, like what, you know, the video that we sent to you of some of our R&D. You know, then they go, you know, then the proverbial light bulb goes off. Oh, well, I never thought of that. And most people don't, because they don't make it. They don't have to deal with it on a daily basis like we do.
And you know, follow with Tracy, they just want it to work.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's a reasonable expectation. And we, you know, with your exacting standards and why we're happy to work with you is because you just want it to work, and you want it to do a good job. And we don't make any compromises because you don't. And, you know, it's like the duck on the water, you know. It's paddling like hell underneath, but it looks calm up top. And that's what we try and do with the product.
Well, and, you know, if you guys could, you know, just maybe we could sort of wrap things up. Just, you know, from your perception of you guys not involved with the product, can you give some care tips and, like, appropriate things that people need to consider when they're using this bag? Because we don't want to make it sound like this is an easy thing to break. But there's some really key things to do, because I believe, you know, no matter what you're doing, you got to know how to use it properly.
Well, absolutely. You know, I think the most important thing is, you know, be mindful of the fill material. If you're filling it up with, you know, I won't say dirty sand, but I mean, if you've got gravel in there or rocks or sharp items, this is fabric we're talking about. It is going to puncture. So, you know, if you want to beat sand, whatnot, it's fine. But you just got to remember that you're dealing with a material that will puncture with sharp objects. We've seen a lot of people in another piece of what we do fill up material with other items, you know, with items, and you know they don't, they just don't understand why it's got a big rip in it. Well, wow, you're filling it with aggregate, and yeah, that's got sharp edges. So you know, as a basic, you just you know you understand you understand that. I think that's going to go a long way, but probably I can't even say this is number two because they're really just side by side. Do not fill it till it's bursting at the seams. Josh has had the foresight to make sure there are heavier weight bags available, or the product can be the workout bags or the backpacks can be filled with multiple fillers. So if you fill it to the point where it looks like it's bursting, you will get that result. That I can guarantee you.
And that has to do with, you know, you guys and I have talked about, you know, as I travel more and more, I see that, you know, when we say sand, that can mean different types of sand. And the only thing, you know, when we put out our weight load recommendations, we're talking about a dry, dry sand, right? Because you can see the clumpy, wet sand in different parts of the country or world. We can't control that wet sand or other types of sand, you know, may affect the weight. So, you know, you got to use your, you know, common sense that if you're putting in wet sand and it's bigger, that's pushing out those seams, you got to put less in there, right?
Yeah, well, there is that. And I mean, we're not asking for everybody to have a scale at home. It's not. I think that would be unreasonable. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know what, we'd be more than happy to ship it filled and sealed. But, you know, that at that price point, it doesn't really meet that nexus with what your customer's expectations are. So with that in mind, I think it behooves your customers, your end user, that if they've got wet sand, then, you know, throw it out on a trash bag and let it sit in the sun for a day or so to dry out. You know, this is, when it reaches their door, it belongs to them, and just a very little bit of care and maintenance in figuring out what and how you're going to fill it, and minor maintenance throughout its lifetime, that's going to give them a longer-lasting product, and they're going to see just how much of a benefit this whole line of products is in their life. I'm definitely not going to do a before and after picture on your website, but just in doing the testing alone, you know, I've used every single item you have made, and I got to tell you, it really, I feel it the next day. I'd say my athletic ability is sub-moderate. You know, yeah. I mean.
And that's why you're the brains of the operation, right?
Yeah, but hey, you know, I walk 3 miles a day on the production floor. I think I'm ahead of most, but I'll leave it at that. But I'm not walking with your backpack yet. I'm going to try that.
That's not fun. Trust me, I've done that.
But you know, with just some minor upfront, you know, put some common sense, as you and Tracy have both said, into it up front, they're going to have a good product for a good piece of time.
That's awesome, guys. I really appreciate you guys taking the time, because I think it's, you know, our biggest thing in the training side is to educate people on the use and implementation. But I think it's also good to educate them on the product, because it's completely unique. And I think about things on the fitness market, and I can't think of too many things that are like this. This is completely a unique thing, so I think there's a learning curve for a lot of people to figure out how they should appropriately use the sandbags as well.
Oh, absolutely, there is. And you know, one of the beauties about your system and the fact that we, you know, they are fillable is that they have, you know, a portable system for them to take with them wherever they are, so they can continue their workouts, you know, unabated.
Yeah, so guys, thank you so much. I know we're in the works of, you know, creating more stuff, and, you know, I don't want to give away a secret, but you guys were brilliant again and making some modifications. And, again, when we can, because we obviously have to be like 007 over here now, you know, everyone wants to knock off what we're doing, that we're going to be able to tell people the great stuff you got going on. And I really appreciate all the help you guys have been able to give in the past year.
No, Josh, you know, without your experience in the industry, you know, we wouldn't even, you know, we wouldn't be able to do modifications, the minor ones that we do, to really tailor this to your needs. So it's your idea, and we really just, you know, with the production and everything else, we just really tailor it specifically to what you need.
And so I thank you guys again, and just want everyone to really know that, you know, what makes us, I think, really unique more than anything else is that we're constantly evolve and make these products better, and we learn from, you know, the people using them just as much as ourselves. So thank you guys again, and we'll look forward to many cool new products coming out in the near future.
Absolutely. We're looking forward
to it. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Josh.